believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very works' sakes. Verse 12 says, Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Praise the Lord. Appreciate again that we've seen greater works than these, even in lives. Appreciate so much that we can have a worship service today, focusing on heaven and remembering our faithful sister, Jeannie Johnson, today. Praise the Lord. It's good to have family here. We want to, again, offer our condolences. And let me go ahead and say that I appreciate so much what Good Samaritan Baptist Church is going through, a broken heart. And, again, just pulling together and being together and for a precious time like this. We're going to meet someday in heaven. Let's sing Meet Me There. How are you, song machine? Can't see. Meet me there. Meet me there. Where the tree of life is blooming. Meet me there. When the storms of life are o'er, on the happy golden shore, where the faithful mark no more, meet me there. On the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, when the storms of life are o'er, meet me there. Where the night dissolves away into pure and perfect day, life are o'er, on the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more, meet me there. Here our fondest hopes are vain, dearest links are rent in twain, but in have no throb of pain, meet me there. By the river sparkling bright, in the city of delight, where our faith is lost inside, meet me there. Those with Jesus by their side, who from them was crucified, where the Savior bled and died, meet me there. He for all your sins atoned, promised ne'er to leave you alone. Meet me there. storms of life are o'er on the happy golden shore, where the faithful part no more meet me there. Father, praise you and thank you again that we could meet today. Thank you again, Father, for your presence here, but thank you especially, Father, that we could gather with other believers and lift up the name of your Son. Father, we thank you for Miss Jeannie Johnson. We thank you for her love for you. Thank you again for the testimony of her love, her testimony of her salvation. Thank you for the things that we've rehearsed over and over this past week, these past weeks. And praise you again and thank you, Father, that we could meet now, knowing again that Jeannie's pain is over. Father, that we could just rejoice in your goodness. Father, we thank you for Dave and the family being here and pray a special blessing on them through this week especially. Father, that you'd surround us in your care as we go about the duties that lie before us. Pray, Father, now again as we would be here on a Sunday morning to worship, to praise your name, and to lift up your Son. We thank you again that we could do that together, and thank you again that we could do that with hearts aright with you. Pray that you touch and move in each song that's sung, each scripture that's spoken. Father, that we could hear from heaven. Father, accept our worship and touch each one that's here. Hear each prayer whispered from this service. Touch each heart in a special way as we unite together to lift up your Son. We'll praise you now and thank you, Father, for your goodness. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. And we're going to sing Bill's favorite song. Is Bill not here? Oh, can we turn the speaker up? Or is that good? Bill, if you can hear us, sing loud. What a day that will be. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky. No more tears to dim the eye. Open our Bibles once again to Psalm 23, the 23rd Psalm. I trust it's familiar to all of us. Some of you don't need to open there except to check me out and make sure I don't leave out any lines. All right. The 23rd Psalm. And I'll leave you set because it's so hot in here. And you look so tired this morning. But let's go ahead and recite this precious old psalm, the 23rd psalm, together out loud. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word Beulah in the book of Isaiah means married. God has married himself to a land. God has married himself to a people, the nation of Israel. And God, in the form of his only begotten Son, is about to marry himself to the chaste virgin when he comes to receive his bride at the rapture of the church. Let's sing about being married a little bit. On Beulah land, I've reached a land of joy divine, and all its riches freely mine. Here shines undimmed one blissful day, for all my night has passed away. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on the highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. My Savior comes and walks with me, and sweet communion here have we. He gently leads me by his hand, for this is heaven's borderland. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on the highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. A sweet perfume upon the breeze is born from ever near old trees, and flowers that ne'er fading grow, where streams of life forever flow. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on the highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my home forevermore. The zephyr seem to blow to me some sounds of heaven's melody, as angels with white robe throng join in the sweet redemption song. Oh, Beulah land, sweet Beulah land, as on the highest mount I stand, I look away across the sea, where mansions are prepared for me, and view the shining glory shore, my heaven, my think about heaven a little bit again. Let's go ahead and sing "It's a Beautiful Place." Heaven is a wonderful place, filled with glory and grace. I'm gonna see my Savior's face. Heaven is a wonderful, heaven is a beautiful, heaven is a wonderful place. And I feel like traveling, traveling on, I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair, I feel like traveling on. Praise the Lord. Appreciate as we worship today again. There are announcements. include the fact that this Wednesday is going to be visiting hours for Jeannie Johnson down at Royce Chedzoy Funeral Home in Watkins Glen, and that's going to be from 7, or 4 till 7 on Wednesday night, so we will not be here for prayer meeting, but we will be in prayer again for that whole time, so keep that in mind for this Wednesday night. And then the funeral is here Thursday at 11 o'clock again. So I think all the arrangements are still in the works again, but will be worked out by Thursday. So appreciate again. We got pole bearers and we got everything all arranged, and we'll go ahead and have the church prepared again. We don't have a clue how many to expect here or how we would handle the expected crowd. But again, we'll make do with what we can do, and appreciate again your cooperation. Appreciate again that we could have a little overflow area outside here. We will be requiring masks if you cannot maintain social distancing. Okay, so if you cannot maintain social distancing from non-family members, we'll be requiring masks. I had mentioned that, yeah, but here at Good Samaritan, we're all family members anyway, but I don't know how this is going to work, but we're looking again for God to just pour out his blessing and to be a great comfort during these times. Any other announcements from family? Are we all set? After the funeral, we're going to go down to the burial grounds, and then from there come and have a meal at the Reading Church. Did I get that right? Okay. So that's the plans for the week, and I appreciate so much that we can keep that in prayer and just bathe it in prayer. And again, appreciate all the help and from here from Good Samaritan Baptist Church, and even on all the rest of the family as far as pitching in and being a help and comfort to the Johnsons during these times. And so let's rejoice in God's blessing. Praise the Lord. And let's go ahead and there's some other announcements in the bulletin that I probably ought to bring up, because August, I think August starts next week. Is that right? Wow. So next week is August. We have revival services. We have missionaries. We have installation services going on for the pickets. And so all kinds of things going on in August. Let's keep our prayer lives active, looking again for God to do some good things at Good Samaritan Baptist Church, even in the month of August. And then in September, we have our anniversary Sunday coming up as well. So I think 28 years. Is that right? 29 years. 29 years anniversary. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Let's go ahead and take a moment for our tithes and offerings. I appreciate, again, your faithfulness at giving here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. There's several ways you can give. You can either put it in the offering plate in the back of the church as you come in. You can put it in the offering plate while we're taking up our offering. Or you can put it in the offering plate when you pop by the church and come in, okay, and find that offering plate. If you do the latter, we prefer, again, that you put it in the second offering plate so there's not money left exposed there during the week. But I appreciate, again, your faithful giving here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. You thought I was going to say we got several ways of giving, and they included online and charge cards, and no, none of that. Again, no PayPals, no. We're doing our giving the old-fashioned way, and I just appreciate, again, the faithfulness of Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We put out a financial report again for June, and God is taking good care of us here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church and our missionaries. Praise the Lord. So you give even just now as we take a moment to have our offering.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Let's stand and sing. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you've got a Bible, grab it up. And Brother Cranmer, you come. Let's do a scripture reading.
Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 61. So I have a new policy. If it's under 10 verses, we'll read them all aloud and together. This one's got 8. Psalm 61. Barb, it's on page 873.
Oh, 758, Dave.
Nope. Psalm 61, we'll start at verse 1. Verse 1 says, "Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings, Selah. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth which may preserve me. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows." Amen.
Praise the Lord. Let's jump to a little different song than's in our list, and it's in our songbook, 827. If you want to grab a songbook there, "I'm Standing on the Solid Rock." I was going to sing some of Jeannie's favorite songs, but we'd be here for 3 hours if we sang all of Jeannie's favorite songs. I know this was one of them. Praise the Lord. "I'm Standing on the Solid Rock. Through my disappointment, strife, and discontentment, I cast my every care upon the Lord. No matter what obsession, pain, or deep depression, I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Even though he's gone now, I don't feel alone now. With comfort came the Spirit of the Lord. Now with his word to guide me, from temptation hide me. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storms that rages rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. Now I'm pressing onward, each step leads me homeward. I'm trusting in my Savior day by day. And close is my relation, firm is its foundation. So on this solid rock I'll stay. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe, but not from the storm that rages rich, but not from Satan's wages. I'm standing on the solid rock. I'm standing on the rock of ages, safe from all the storm that rages rich, but not from Satan's wages I'm standing on the solid rock. Praise the Lord, you may be seated. And let's do this one more song. On the back of your bulletin there should be a song, "Where We'll Never Grow Old." I have heard of a land on the faraway strand. Is a beautiful home of the built by Jesus on high. There we never shall die. Is a land where we never grow old. Never. Bible, let's open it up. Revelation and chapter 21. I think that was in one of our readings here that we didn't get to, so let's go ahead and do that now. Revelation chapter 21. We want to look message my son first preached in junior church years and years ago, and he preached it in 7 minutes. Seven no mores in heaven. I don't know, it might have been the first time he preached in junior, first time he preached, and he preached for 7 minutes. I'm not going to make it through in 7 minutes today, but we're going to look at seven no mores out of this chapter in heaven. And Revelation, again, is a tremendous book. I picked up a study Bible here, and it said in that study Bible that the book of Revelation, it was a King James Bible, but it was a study Bible, again, written by some Protestants who I thought they knew some things about the Bible and put little notes in front of each caption. And then and the book of Revelation said that this is a hidden message. And it's got hidden and secret, what they call symbols in that, that we really can't understand. And I thought, wow. I've been preaching. I was kind of shocked to find a Bible right in a Good Samaritan Baptist church. It said Revelation's a book you can't understand. Listen, this is a book we can understand. If you're a believer and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And we know that He's coming soon and these events are going to come to pass. Before we read this text, let me go ahead and introduce some of it. In chapter 18 and verse 20, I find an interesting verse. It says, Revelation 18, 20. Well, let's start verse 19. And they cast dust on their heads and cried weeping and wailing, saying, "Alas, alas, the great city wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea by reason of her costliness, for in 1 hour she is made desolate." We know again as we read the revelation of Jesus Christ that there's coming an end time and there's coming a judgment upon God that's going to fall upon this earth. It's horrible. It's as we read it again, it is the wrath of God. Let me just interject right here that there's 3, 5, 9s in Revelations, Hebrews, and Galatians that says that, or 1 Thessalonians that says we're not going to be here for that. That God hath not appointed us to wrath. So there is a wrath of God that's going to fall upon this old world. And I want you to look with me at this verse in 18:20 that says this, "Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her." God is going to again have the last word on this old world, and there's going to be a destruction again of this world, and a judge is going to come riding in Revelation chapter 19 on a white horse, and this world will be judged. After that, there's a 1,000-year millennial kingdom. That word "avenge" there is an interesting word. When we get even with somebody, we get revenge. Have you heard that? If you dig through the Bible, you'll find that there are several instances where the word revenge is used, and it's always used by man, of man. But when God, again, does this here, it says, when He comes with His judgment and judges the world, and this Babylon has fallen, is just before the Battle of Armageddon here, in the judgment. And it is an avenged. There's a difference in those words. And so, again, we don't understand all these things, but we do recognize that the Bible is clear that there's coming a judgment. And again, this world's going to be judged. And there's going to be 1,000 years set up as a millennial reign of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, again, after that 1,000 years, we are going to be with God in heaven for all of eternity. I'll not read again out of Revelation chapter 20, the great white throne judgment that precedes this. But we've covered that many a time, that there is going to be a judgment. And that this world's going to be judged. And if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, boy, you want it there before the sun sets today. I wouldn't dawdle around. Again, if your name's not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, there's a second death coming. And if your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then we can read chapter 21 of Revelation and understand that there's going to be 7 no mores listed in this chapter that are going to be blessed and joyful and are already again being tasted by our dear sister. Revelation chapter 21, you follow along in your Bible as I would read from God's Holy Writ. It says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Got that? No more sea. There's our first no more here again. And a sea, it causes a separation of nations, a separation of people. And listen, in God's new heaven and new earth, there's going to be no more separations of mankind. There's There's not going to be a separation of people, and especially there's not going to be a separation of people from God. Verse 2 says, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God." From the creation of the world, I want you to know that God's intent was that He would tabernacle with men and that we would have fellowship with Him. The fall in the garden broke that fellowship and gave Satan a victory. If you've been reading with us again as we started that book, What in the World is God Doing? That explains quite clearly again God's big plan. And the fact again that He's going to take everything back to win a victory over Satan, to where again we are placed in the Garden of Eden as far as our fellowship with God, and He's going to put everything new. Every curse that was brought is going to be reversed by the Lord Jesus Christ as we are now here in this new heaven and new earth. And so as we look at that again and as we marvel at that, look at this line, "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." Bible says there's a difference between a tabernacle and a temple in your Bible as well. Remember again that God had them in Exodus build a tabernacle, and that tabernacle was a mobile unit and moved around. And notice again that it didn't have any permanent dwelling place. That bothered David, and he said, "I want a temple." And again, he began the building of a temple there in Jerusalem, and God allowed that and blessed that, and through Solomon, his son, built a temple, and a temple is a more permanent place. And here, again, notice that there's this tabernacle, and I'm curious about that. The tabernacle of God is with men. When we find, again, verses that says, "What, know ye not that ye are the tabernacle of God?" What does it say? Temple. It does. It says temple. "What, know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that ye are not your own? Ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." And so notice here again that God has always wanted that He would tabernacle with men and that men would tabernacle with Him. Again, it's an idea no matter where we are, no matter where we move to, that we'll be with Him. And there's a permanence in that arrangement, even here with the use of the word tabernacle. And so we are, it's been said by Brother Dawson, in the Old Testament, God built a tabernacle for the people. Listen. In the New Testament, God builds a people for His tabernacle. And so we are the tabernacle of God right now. If there's ever going to be a Shekinah glory of God that's going to show up during a pandemic, it's going to show up in God's people. If there's ever going to be a Shekinah glory of God that's going to show up when anarchy is in our streets and Marxists are taking over our country, it's going to show up in God's people, because we are the temple of God. And that's where God dwells. Look at this verse again. "And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself shall be with them and be their God." That's God's heart's desire, and has been through all the 7,000 years since creation and to this point right here. Verse 4 says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." There's going to be no more tears. No more seeing, no more divisions of man, no more tears. We don't know what that's like. There's been some tears shed this week. There's been some hearts that have been broken. There's been some separation this week that brings us to tears. And listen, we're headed to a place where there'll be no more tears, because God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. We'll be through crying. We'll be through with broken hearts. We'll be through with things that bring us to tears in this life. And there shall be no more death, no more separation in death. Death has got its victory right now, and the grave has lost its attack and its grounds in the Lord Jesus Christ. But boy, we're headed to a place where there's going to be no funeral processions. There's going to be no parting in death. There's no more separation from God. It'll all be over. There's no more tears. There's no more death. Neither sorrow. There's going to be no sorrow there. No broken hearts. We're going to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. There's going to be no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. Praise the Lord. I don't know what it would be like to sleep for over 6 hours without pain. My wife wishes I did. But listen, there's going to be no more pain there. And there's going to be no arthritis. And there's going to be none of that, what's that orange stuff that I take with my vegetables? Turmeric. We're not going to need to eat turmeric. We can if we want to, praise the Lord, but we won't have to, hallelujah. And there's going to be no more pain. And some of us, that's just rejoicing ground right there. And if it ain't yet for you, just wait till you get a little older again and you'll find some rejoicing when there's no more pain. No tears, no death, no sorrow, no crying. Neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. I kind of lost track of my count here because I didn't bring my outline. Verse 5 says, he that sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said unto me, it is done. I am Alpha and Omega. This is the Lord Jesus Christ, who is God Himself. When you understand your Bible, you understand the Trinity, and when you understand the Trinity, you fall in love with the Lord Jesus Christ a little bit more for what He did and who He is. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. A lot of preachers have changed the words of God just a little bit and said, well, he meant sons and daughters. No, he didn't. Ladies, listen, you're going to be a son in God's kingdom. And we understand, again, the difference between a son and a daughter. A son's going to inherit all things. And so again, understand this, that when the Bible says sons, I know it's not politically correct, but it's accurate again, that we're going to all be children of God. Remember, in heaven, there's no male and female. There's no giving in marriage or receiving in marriage. We don't understand some of those things right now. We talked a little bit this week about who we can recognize when we get to heaven. Will we see each other? Will we recognize each other? And again, there's a lot of songs written about seeing our loved ones in heaven for all of eternity. So I believe, again, that we will. But notice here again that we're all going to be sons, praise the Lord, as joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then look at verse 8. Often when I'm looking at all the things that are in heaven, often when I've outlined this message, even when Jane preached it there, he went past this to dig out a couple other no mores. But verse 8 covers one of the no mores that you're not going to find in heaven. And there's not going to be any sin there. That it's all over at that point. There's a teaching in this world and in the Christianity of this world that, again, if we're all good enough, that we can go and we'll make it into heaven on how good we are. Listen, being good does not purge your life of sin. And there's going to be no sin in heaven. None. Zip. Nada. And so when we look at this verse again, we often think, wow, how fearful, how dreadful. But again, understand this. It's talking about the streets of gold that's coming up in a few verses. It's talking about what we're going to have present with us in heaven. And listen, there's going to be no more sin of any sort. Here on this earth, we're saved from the penalty of sin. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Are you saved, is the question we want to ask. He that believeth on the Son... Now I messed up my verse there. Yeah. Let's turn to John chapter 3. Let's get that nailed down while we're right here. Again, praise the Lord. John chapter 3. I can say this when I'm not preaching. I usually, when I'm preaching, I say this. John chapter 3. For God, let's say it all together, okay? Three verses together. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And so, as we understand this picture of heaven, there's going to be no presence of sin there. And we are saved from the punishment of sin in that verse. We're saved from the condemnation that's in sin. And that condemnation is to death. And if you're saved here today, you have eternal life, and it's eternal. Secondly, we're saved from the power of sin. Once you're saved, you don't have to sin anymore. We do, because that's the way we are. But again, we don't have to. 1 John is all about the fact, again, that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And it goes on to say, if any of you say that you don't have sin, you're a liar, and now you've got sin, all right? And so again, understand that we're still burdened with sin. The things we would do, we do not. The things that we would not do, those things we do. Paul said it, that we have got this old carcass, old body that we carry around with us. And certainly it needs to die daily. But again, it often don't. And we are tangled in sin. And so we are saved first from the penalty of sin. Secondly, from the power of sin when you got saved. You don't have to sin. We do that. And when we do it on purpose. I never forget when I know I'm such a mild-mannered man, you're going to find this hard to believe, but I used to have a short temper again. And boy, did I get mad. And I think I've told the story here about getting so mad that I beat the fender of my car all in with a hammer. Finally I come to a place where I said, being angry, losing your temper, is like losing temperance. Temperance is a gift of the Holy Spirit. And I said, you know, I need to recognize that I need God's permission to lose my temper. And so I started before I'd lose my temper. And listen, you know when you're going to lose your temper. You know again that that's it. I've had it. I'm up to here. One more drop and then poof, there comes the drop again. And that's it. And so I started. When that last drop comes, it's going to push me to lose my temper. I said, God, I've had it. I deserve a chance to lose my temper. You know, God's never gave me permission to step out of position, I call that. I need to step out of my position as a Christian so that I can throw me a temper tantrum like you wouldn't believe and beat in another fender with a hammer. And listen, God's never gave me permission to step out of position and lose my temper. And you need God's permission to step out of position And once you get to a place where you recognize that, you won't be stepping out of position and walking into sin as much as we used to. So recognize that again, that we are saved from the power of sin. But lastly, and then here in this verse 8, we are saved from the very presence of sin. You and I can't imagine what that's like. You and I can't imagine the other 7 here that we've already read. They're given to us again, and they're unbelievable, but they're going to happen. Verse 8 says this, "But the fearful, and the unbelieving, and the abominable, and the murderers, and the whoremongers, and the sorcerers, and the idolaters, and all liars." Let me stop right there. It says over in 1 Corinthians that, "And such were some of you." Such were, past tense, praise the Lord, hallelujah. Some of you, hallelujah, were not what we used to be, because we've been cleansed, we've been made whole. "And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." "And there came unto me one of the 7 angels, which had the 7 vials full of the last plagues, talked with me, saying, Come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God." The next few verses describe the city that we're going to live in heaven, and inhabit for eternity. I just point out again that that's a tremendous read. There's one more, no more, in that chapter. We could get out of there, that there's no more need of the sun in that city, because the glory of God is going to be our light. It says in several times in the book of Isaiah, we're reading through Jeremiah now in our scheduled reading, and several times there again, that God desired His people to be, that He could tabernacle with them, and I would be their God, and they would be my people. It's amazing how many times that's repeated through the Old Testament. But one of them is so that they will know me, and that they will know, everyone will know me. And there won't be any Sunday school classes, there won't be any teaching classes, because all of mankind will know me. Listen, that's where we're headed. To a place where we will know God, because He tabernacles with us. I've had it said, in fact, Betty Smalley, some of you remember Betty, I've been thinking about her this week, said when she first started coming over and she found out that she isn't going to go die and go walk on streets of gold, there's another 1,000 years before we get to the streets of gold. She was disappointed in that, and became a student of God's Word, a precious student here at Good Samaritan Baptist Church. We loved Betty. We loved her questions. All of us loved when she found that verse in the Bible that says she's going to fly away, and she couldn't stop talking about that. But listen, she said, "Does that mean when I die I'm not going to heaven?" I said, no, that's not what that means. You're going to heaven, all right. Because listen, heaven is where the presence of God is shown in its full glory. And so when you're in the presence of God, you're in heaven. Now this is a city, it is described here, and it's where we're going to be, and it's the presence of God, all right. And it's in His full glory, so much so that we won't even need the sun to see. Remember I said again in Dr. Showers' book that He's going to take everything back the way it was at creation. And you remember in creation there was light, but there was no sun. Isn't that curious? And here in this city there's going to be light, but no sun. No need of the sun, it says. And so, listen, when we leave this life, the Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord. It says again that precious in the eyes of the Lord are the death of His saints. Some things that we find hard to understand, but listen again, understand that caught up in a moment into the very presence of God is what this is all about. That's what we'll be one day. When we're in the presence of God, we are in heaven. Doesn't matter if there's 1,000 years yet to go before this city's let down. Doesn't matter if, again, there's 1,000 years to go before there's a new heaven and a new earth. Listen, when we leave this earth, we're in the very presence of God. And that's heaven. Father, thank you and praise you. Thank you for what your book says about our. Thank you again, Father, for our travail here on this earth. Father, may it cause us to love you the more. May it cause us to be students of this book the more. Father, we've got a little extra longing for heaven today. Knowing again, Father, that Jeannie loved you with all her heart, all her soul, and all her mind. Trusted you for her salvation. And is absent from the body and present with the Lord. We thank you for that knowledge. We thank you for that insight. We thank you for the revelation of Jesus Christ that lays open before us. And Father, we thank you again that we have a home in heaven. And we're going there. Father, I pray just now again that you bless. Touch again our hearts in a special way as we go through this week. May our mind be set on heaven. May again our heart and soul be set on people. And Father, that we could again have your blessing and your presence in this week in a special way. We'll give you all the praise for touching our service today and touching each heart. And thank you that we could gather in your name again and worship you on the first day of the week, the day that you rose your son from the tomb. Father, I pray that you'd accept our worship here from this place and on this day. Father, we love you. And we trust you. Oh, we've said that for weeks now, Father, and we trust you. And we're leaning on you today, and so I'd ask that you'd hear our hearts and answer prayers. And we'll give you all the praise in the name of Christ. Amen. Amen. We're going to reflect all week on some of the verses that we've looked at here today. But let's do this. Rather than have a closing invitation, let's stand, sing our favorite chorus, my favorite chorus, our favorite chorus. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank giving to me thy great salvation so rich and free. Lord, bless you for worshiping with us today here this morning.